2 Timothy 3, it kind of ties in with what I was just talking about. 2 Timothy, of course, written to a pastor about how to be a good pastor, how to lead his church in God's ways. And one of the warnings that Paul gave here was about deception, saying that it would creep into the churches and it would creep into Christianity, and that God's people needed to be prepared for it. And all of us do, especially here in these last days when it's just getting worse and worse. As we see in verse 13, if you look there, he says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." He says, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So our title today is Avoiding Deception. Avoiding Deception. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that the Holy Spirit would use your precious word to speak to each of our hearts, Lord. You know the needs in this service. And I pray that you'd work miracles in our lives. And Lord, we would be reminded about the power of your word and the importance of being grounded. And Lord, just making the word of God such a priority in our walk as Christians. And as Philip prayed earlier, I pray, Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, they'll realize they need Jesus Christ as their Savior if they hope to ever see heaven and be forgiven of their sins. So meet with us now. Guide us in your truth. May Jesus be glorified in this service, in whose name we pray. Amen. God never promised the church as a whole, the church age, that things would get better. He did promise that things would get worse. And we can all see it. Those of us that have gray hair, we can see it. Hey, Brother Doug? He does have more than me, you know. And, you know, he can argue it all day long, but it's true. Anyway, it's getting worse, isn't it? Not only is evil getting worse, as we see in this verse, but seduction of Christians is getting worse. False doctrine. And God promised us this would happen in the last days. And of course, we know we're in the last days, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Yes, things will get better, but not until Jesus comes back. Amen. And before that, he'll take us out. We'll get to spend some time with him in heaven and come back with him and watch him set up his wonderful kingdom. Then things will get better. Praise God. The Prince of Peace will set up a kingdom of peace, and we will get to serve and rule and reign with Christ in that kingdom. But until then, we as God's children are going to find ourselves surrounded by more and more evil, more and more seduction. I'm talking toward false doctrine. And so we need to be prepared. We're commanded to be prepared. Talking about the evil part, if you go to 1 Timothy, just back one book to chapter 4, verse 2, one of the things that God says about these end times and the evil, he says here, they will be speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We've been talking about this on Wednesday nights when we're looking through Romans. But one of the things we would see is that people's consciences would be seared, that they wouldn't have this sense of morality that God gave us, that they wouldn't be able to even hear it anymore. And of course, we see this around us now, don't we? That this sense of basic right and wrong is leaving society. And then over in 2 Timothy again, chapter 3, our chapter, look up at the beginning of the chapter in verse 2. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Does that sound like things are going to get better? That's quite a list, isn't it? That's what God says things are going to be like in the last days. And what shocks me is how many Christians are responding to this by getting all despondent and down and depressed. We should be excited. Jesus is coming. Amen? And we're going to heaven no matter how bad it gets on the earth. And the worst that they can do to us is send us to heaven. That's the worst they can do. We're told not to fear man. But we're never told to quit or give up or get down and despondent. Instead, we're told to rejoice in the Lord always. We're told to keep witnessing and keep serving until that trumpet blows and we're gone. But evil is just going to keep getting worse and worse. And the second part of the verse says, and seducers shall wax worse and worse. False doctrine is going to just keep increasing. Seduction toward false doctrine is just going to keep increasing. Remember when we did our study on church history, just that little short study, and it was shocking to find that most of the cults are actually quite young, relatively, when you look at the church age being 2,000 years. Most of the cults are less than 200 years old. That's less than 10% of the church age. They've all been springing up in the past 200 years, sadly, most of them in America. But and what we find now, because we have the internet, is it's just increasing like this, isn't it? Because you can find anything you want on the internet. But God promised that this would get worse as well. If you look over in chapter 4 of 1st, 2nd Timothy, verse 4, look what he says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It seems shocking to us, but it's true. People would much rather believe a fable than God's word. Someone comes along and tells them these wacky theories and wacky stories, and people say, oh, that's something I need to believe. Well, why not just believe what your Creator wrote? But this is what would happen in the last days. 1 Timothy 4, he says, the latter times men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctors of devils. That's in 1 Timothy 4:1. 2 Peter 2:1, he says, there will be false teachers among you who will bring in damnable heresies. So I'm not saying all this to get you down, okay? God said it would happen, and it's happening. But if you're born again, you have no reason to be down about it. We can just look and say, yep, God's word is true. God promised it would happen. It's happening. Hallelujah. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I need to tell more people about Jesus before it's too late. And you know, even when you think about just even the past 40 years, it amazes me all these new doctrines that have crept up, which, as Solomon aptly said, there's nothing new under the sun. Christians have believed the Bible for 2,000 years now, but all of a sudden you got all these people saying, oh, but the rapture is actually going to be in the middle of tribulation, not the beginning. Where'd that come from? Or actually, you can lose your salvation. Well, no, Christians have never believed that until recently. But now it seems like most Christian churches are teaching you can lose your salvation. Or that if you're right with God, you'll be rich and healthy. Well, that's certainly not in here. Look at Job. Or that worship has been replaced with entertainment. And rock music and having fun. Or that there was never such a thing as women pastors in the Bible. Or even in Christianity until the past 40 years, maybe 50 years. It's a new thing. Covenant theology, basically the teaching that Israel's gone, God's done with them, the church has taken their place. Christians have never believed that until recently. All these wacky things. And the latest one is the theory of annihilation, that hell isn't eternal. That's spreading through the churches like wildfire. Well, if hell's not eternal, then we got a lot of scriptures to cut out of our Bible. Amen? Because Jesus said forever and ever. And those are just some examples, but we can see it. We can see it with our eyes that It's true. Evil is getting worse. Seduction is getting worse. And so Paul here in this passage gives us the solution. It's not complicated. Here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, look what he says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. The solution to being ready for deception has never been different. It's always been this book. Learning, learning, learning the Word of God. But I'd like to jump to 15 first and then come back to 14, because the first solution or protection against deception has to come first, and that is you have to be saved. If you're not saved, you have no hope of handling deception. You're already living in deception. The devil is your father, and he has blinded your eyes. You need Christ. As he says in verse 15, from a child, he's talking to Timothy. And if you look at other parts of Timothy, you'll find out that Timothy was raised in the scriptures. He says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The first and most important protection against deception is you got to be a born-again Christian. Because if you're not a born-again Christian, then you do not have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the one who can guide you into all truth, which is one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us as Christians. From John chapter 16, verse 13, it says that he will guide you into all truth. He guides us. The author of the Bible is also the best interpreter of the Bible. Amen? And if you don't have him in you, you're on your own. And wicked man's not going to figure it out on his own. So you've got to be born again, as he says here, you make thee wise unto salvation through faith. When we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary, God gives us salvation. It's not a Baptist or a Catholic thing. It's a Bible thing. God said, this is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You must have the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John 14, 6. So first, you must be saved. You must be saved. But second, and I'm hoping that the majority of the people in this room can say, I am saved, I am born again, I have trusted Christ, I have placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But second is the Holy Scriptures. We must keep learning them. And Paul uses that word learn a couple of times here, but he says, continue in the things which thou hast learned. Learning the Word of God is the key to avoiding and protecting yourself against deception. Learning the Word. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, if you would. Here God uses the word grounded. Too many Christians today are not grounded in the Word of God. You ask them, do you believe Jesus is Jehovah? And they'll say, yes. Well, can you show me in the Scriptures? Well, not really. Let me call my pastor. You should be able to know why you believe what you believe. You should be able to prove to others why you believe what you believe, because you're grounded in the Word of God. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. This is what God wants from Christians. He wants us to be grounded and settled, not carried about with every wind of doctrine, as we read in Ephesians 4:14. Another passage, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, if you turn there quickly. Hebrews 5 and verse 13. Here Paul is essentially rebuking the Hebrews that he's writing to for not maturing in the Word like they should have. Notice what he says in verse 13 of Hebrews 5. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God's Word, as we mature in it, as we mature from the milk to the meat, we go to full age, as he says here, and then we're able to discern. Not because we're special or wonderful or amazing, but because we know this. And the only way we can discern is because we know this. And so the key, as we face all the deception around us, and by the way, if Jesus doesn't come soon, it's only going to get worse. There's going to be more wacky doctrines creep up. And I could say, especially now that we have the internet. So I'd like us just to think for a few moments about this word learning. And what you'll find is, according to the Bible itself, there are five different ways that God wants us to learn His Word. Five. Now, the first is the most obvious, and that is He wants us to read it. Amen? Every Christian should make a commitment from this day forward, I'm going to read God's Word every day. What did Jesus say when He was tempted by the devil in the desert? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, in Matthew 4:4. Do you eat food every day? The answer is, unless I'm fasting, yes, I do. God wants you to feed on His Word every day. And His Word is likened to the manna of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ being the bread of life and the Word of God. And they were told they had to go gather it every day. First thing they did was disobey and say, well, I'm gonna get twice as much so I don't have to go out tomorrow. And it bred worms and went off, stank. What was He teaching them? Why was it so important that they had to go gather it every day? Because one day God would give us this book and He would want us to feed on the manna every day. Not just Sundays, but every day. We are to read the Word of God. An example is in Acts 17. If you turn there quickly, Acts 17, verse 11. The church at Berea. Paul here is commending this church. And look what he says about them. He says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures weekly. That's some other version that says that. What's it say? Daily. That's a good example, isn't it? Paul says, look at this church of Berea. They've been challenged by all these false doctrines, by these Judaizers and by these people challenging the second coming of Christ. So what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily. Whether those things were so. You think God wants us to search the scriptures daily? Absolutely. If we're going to learn the Bible, we need to be, as it says in James chapter 1, look into the perfect law of righteousness. We need to be reading the scriptures every day. If every Christian just made that one commitment, nothing else, just I'm going to read the Bible every day, I guarantee you some lives would be transformed. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I might not get to do this or this or this, but I'm going to read the Bible every day. Just that one thing. The second way we learn is God calls it meditation. Go to Psalm 119, if you would, verse 97. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's no coincidence that the longest chapter in the Bible is a chapter about the Bible itself. But notice Psalm 119 and verse 97. David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation. Look at these last three words, Psalm 119, 97. It is my meditation all the day. Isn't that good? I meditate in God's word all day, he said. Look at verse 99, just two verses down. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Now, these are just some samples, but you can find so many scriptures that talk about the importance of meditating in God's Word. And we're not talking Eastern religion type meditation, okay, with your legs folded up, all that stuff. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about if you do read the Bible every day, which we should, then you find a nugget and you meditate on that nugget all day. Are there some nuggets in here? An infinite amount, amen? So find one and meditate on it. So one of the ways we learn is by reading the scriptures. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We need to be reading the Bible. Secondly, we need to be meditating in the scriptures, like he says in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thirdly, study. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Most of us already know this verse. It's the theme verse of the Awana clubs. That's where they get the word Awana. It's an acronym for approved workmen are not ashamed. And it comes from this verse where it says, study, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to study his word. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 14. I can hear people saying, yeah, but studying is hard work. It absolutely is. It is not easy to study the Bible because your flesh doesn't want to. And the devil doesn't want you to. So studying the Bible to a lot of people is like this thing out there. I know I should do it, but I'm afraid to ever get started because it's just too daunting. It's too much work. It really isn't. Start small if you haven't studied the Bible before. Pick a chapter that means a lot to you and just study that chapter for a couple of weeks. You don't have to make it complicated, but study God's Word. Look at Ephesians 4:13. God says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's the command there? That we grow up. Amen? Be no more children. But what's the context? Doctrine. Grow up in your doctrine. You can't do that without studying. You have to study the Word of God. So he wants us to read the Word, meditate in the Word, study the Word. And you knew this next one was coming. Colossians 3:16. Memorize the Word. Colossians 3:16. I know I talk about it probably too much, but I'm not going to stop. We all should be memorizing Scripture all the time. It is commanded, and it is important. It is good for us. It gives the Holy Spirit a larger arsenal to use when we are told to resist the devil with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The more Scriptures we have in our heart, the more he can draw upon. And when the devil tempts us and attacks us, we can resist him with that two-edged sword. But notice Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. God wants his word to dwell in us. We all know Psalm 119:11. Thy word I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But we need to put it into practice. Start now. Do one verse a month. But start. You won't regret it. And it will change your life. It will literally change your life. So God wants us to read his word. He wants us to meditate in his word. He wants us to study his word. He wants us to memorize his word. We're all thinking, what's the fifth one? He wants us to go to church. Amen. Look at Romans 10:17. You know, every time I read 1 Timothy 3:15, which says God calls the church the pillar and ground of the truth, every time I read that verse, my mind goes to the internet. Because how many Christians today consider the internet their church? That's where they do their studying. That's who they listen to. That's where they do all their research. It's always the internet. And they won't go to a physical church and assemble like God commands them, but they'll spend hours and hours on the internet. Now, do you think that God didn't know there was going to be an internet when he wrote that verse in 1 Timothy 3 about the church being the pillar and ground of the truth? Of course God knew there was going to be an internet. But that hasn't changed. The church is still the pillar and ground of the truth. And Romans 10:17, what's it say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you combine that with Hebrews 10, which commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we see that God has always considered the teaching and the public teaching and preaching of His Word to be paramount in His local church and in the growth of Christians. And those are the five ways that we're to be learning God's Word. We're to be reading it every day. We're to be meditating in it every day. We're to be studying it. We are to be memorizing it. And we're to be faithful to God's church. And like I said a couple weeks ago, if you find yourself in a church that doesn't feed you God's Word, you're going to have to change the situation. Either have a good chat with your pastor and hope that he'll learn to feed God's people, or go to a church that does feed God's people. That's our main reason for going to church. Yes, we come to fellowship. Yes, we come to edify and exhort and encourage one another. Yes, we come to worship corporately and to give. But our primary reason is this. Amen? And God planned this all out. This was His idea. It was not man's idea. And as He says here, back to our passage, 2 Timothy 3, from a child, He says, verse 15, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Scriptures. That says that the Word of God is perfect, exactly what God wanted us to have. Thank God He's preserved it for us from that generation forever, as we're told in Psalm 12. He said, Timothy, you are a very blessed young man. You're a Christian now, and I've made you a pastor of one of the churches that I've planted. But not many people can say that they've known the Holy Scriptures from a child. Now, many people in this room can say that, but most people in the world cannot say that. And if that is the case in your life, just say, hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Lord, that I've known the Scriptures since I was a child. Most of us can't say that. But the only protection against deception that we are going to find, that's going to increase more and more, as we saw in verse 13, is learning this book. And you can't learn this book if you're not saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 that the Word of God is foolishness to an unsaved person. It says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Until you have the Spirit of God, you cannot understand the Bible. You can read it and read it and read it, and you're not going to grasp it, because you don't have the Spirit. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So get saved. Amen. And then learn this. And keep learning it. And never stop learning it. And when somebody comes along and says, hey, I've got a new doctrine. Well, first of all, if they use the word new, just tell them to leave the room. Because there is no new doctrine. Amen? That was sorted out 2,000 years ago. And the church knows what doctrine is. The church has studied the Bible. It's the same Bible. It hasn't changed. So there are no new doctrines. Yeah, the God of this world, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, wants people to believe there's new doctrines, but there are not. So make sure you know what this says. And the next time somebody comes along and say, hey, there's this guy on the internet, boy, he's got some great theories. Say, that's all right. I'll just go read my Bible. Avoiding deception. Not complicated, is it? It's not a long list. It's be saved and learn the Bible. Amen? That's it. But if we'll do that, if we will say, that is important to me, that is important to my Christian walk, God wants me to keep learning His Word, so I'm going to be faithful to church, I'm going to put a program together, I'm going to be memorizing Scripture, and I'm going to make sure I read the Bible every day, and I'm going to make sure that I'm meditating in God's Word, and that I'm taking time to study it. Because it's important. It's important to God. But it's also important to your Christian life that we avoid deception by learning this book. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful and powerful and preserved.